to us when we got born again and we got this Holy Spirit inside. God went outside the natural laws supernaturally, and he said, if you breathe in and you breathe out, I will give you a language which you do not know. Yeah. And that language will be completely beautiful, 100% perfect prayer to me, and a way for us to communicate which will prove and give evidence to you every time you speak that you have that gift of Holy Spirit inside of you. So, just right now, in your mind, just speak in tongues. Just open your mouth and let the words come out. That is this incredible, supernatural miracle. And all of the things that we've been talking about, healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all this great stuff, you can't necessarily manufacture. But you can speak in tongues anytime you will. And it's the proof to yourself, the evidence to yourself, that God is there. And he will never, ever, ever, let me say it again, he will never leave you. Well, we could just end right there. But the coolest part about miracles, and now that you know you've been through the whole session, the theme for this particular summary session here is persist and don't analyze. All right, because the reason why miracles is in the middle and the whole focus point is because many, many times it's going to take God going outside the natural to bring all these other things to pass. Healing, the discerning of spirits, to cast out a spirit is a miracle too, because it takes power to be, here we go, power. Greater power than that dumb spirit. It's a central thing there. But when I say persist, don't analyze, it's important to really, let me just tell a story about miracles. I was thinking that miracles were something that I had to do. Mm-hmm. And I was praying to God and saying, but I want to see miracles. I want miracles in my life. And then, you know, this kind of answer was apparent, that, well, there is already a miracle. You've been born again. That's the greatest miracle there is. And the speaking in tongues, that's a wonderful miracle too. So, but I want to see miracles. I want to see them. And then that's when God said, that's it. It's not you that is going to do them. You are going to see them. Let me do them. So I want to read to you. This is it. I got this off the internet. And there's no way, you know, in 10 minutes we could even hardly begin to look at any miracles. And I think I wrote on the paper that we could look at John 9, because the miracle of the man who was born blind, it really summarizes all the different things we've been talking about with healing, how God had to put a part in there that was missing, and all those different things. But I just decided, I just want to read to you this incomplete list of all the miracles that are in the Bible. And I can't read the whole list. But it starts with the creation. Okay? Then the flood. Then the confusion of languages at the Tower of Babel. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt. The birth of Isaac. It was completely supernatural that Sarah would have a child when she was past age. The burning bush not consumed. Aaron's rod turning into a snake. All the plagues of Egypt, where the water became blood and the frogs came and the lice came, all the way up to the death of the firstborn, and that when you put blood on a doorpost, the angel of death would pass over that. It's completely miraculous. It is not in the physical. It's not possible. The Red Sea was divided and Israel passed through. The waters at Marah are sweetened so that they can drink water. Manna is set daily, all except for on the Sabbath when you needed 2 days, and then there was enough for 2 days. Water came out of the rock when they needed water. When Moses just put his staff on there, and water came out of a rock. Water came out of a rock! Woo! You know, just think about it, yeah! Just think about it. If God can do that, what can he not do in our lives? Gosh, there's a whole bunch more here. Plagues, fire, the Aaron's rod budding. That they put that in the Ark of the Covenant because it was so miraculous that he had this staff, because he was a shepherd, right? He had this staff, and all of a sudden it burst into bloom like an almond tree. And they put that staff in the Ark of the Covenant, and it never stopped blooming. Ever. The brazen serpent, where Moses set up this serpent on a stick, that, you know, was just made out of brass. And if you looked at it, you got healed. Balaam's ass speaking. The Jordan was divided, so they went across, right? The walls of Jericho fall down. Those were 12-foot thick walls. And it said they just disintegrated. The sun and moon stopped during the time of Joshua. There was a hailstorm that wiped out the entire army that they were fighting against in one of the battles of Joshua. They did nothing. God had told them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he's the one who just wipes out the army, just like that. There was a time where there was this idol called Dagon that the Philistines had. And the Ark of the Covenant was in there, and the idol statue would fall down and just get crushed. The head would fall off of this statue. It was a statue of a fish, and the head would fall down because the Ark was in there. And they would come, and the Ark and the head would be on the ground, and they put it back up on the statue, and the next morning it would be down on the ground. Oh gosh! And okay, so. Men's hands got withered, people got raised from the dead. Elijah, during the time of Elijah, fire came down at his, when he said so, and burned up stuff. And when he said the rain will not be there for 3 years, it was not there for 3 years. Elijah was fed by the ravens. The waters of Jericho were healed with Elisha. And Jehoshaphat. Remember Jehoshaphat? That's the great story in Sal's song too, about all he did was send out the singers and they were praising God, and then God fought the whole battle for them. Now, that Gideon's fleece. Let's see. Now we'll go in the Gospels. How blind men got healed. How there was a piece of money in a fish's mouth in order to pay the tax. That there was two blind men that came up and they just got healed immediately because they were saying, have mercy on me. What about Jesus passing unseen through a crowd who was bound to go throw him off the precipice in the city of Nazareth? The miraculous draught of the fishes. Let down your net over here. That's not where you're supposed to go fishing. Well, just do it. The raising of the widow's son, the woman with the spirit of infirmity, the man with the palsy, the 10 lepers, the water made wine, the nobleman's son who he just said, you know, I'm a man under authority and I would like you to heal my son. And he said, fine, yeah. And the man goes home and the son was healed, and he asked what hour exactly did it happen, and it was the exact hour that Jesus said yes. The man at the pool of Bethesda is the one where, you know, he's sitting by the pool waiting for the water to get churned up because he thinks that that's where the healing is going to be. And Jesus comes out of all the people that are sitting in the portico by the pool of Bethesda. He goes to this one guy who had been lame for 38 years, and he says to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man says, "Well, I didn't have anybody to send me into the water." "Well, it doesn't take water. It takes the Son of God. Do you want to be healed?" "Yes." So the man had to push. It's a great example of a combination of all of the things. But at that moment, when he got healed, God did all the healing stuff that I talked about just earlier. It went above the natural that it happened right then. This man who had 38 years, he had not used his legs. They're atrophied. There's no way you could stand up on them. Above the natural, boom, there you go. Here's a gift to you. Lazarus raised from the dead. The lady whose daughter needed healing. 4,000 people fed. The fig tree. The centurion's son. The tempest and the storm on the Sea of Galilee stopping. So we go on and on and on. Jesus walking on the water. Isn't that above the natural? See? The point is, and I really could. I could keep on going. I'll through the whole word. But the point is that God is not limited by the natural. And if we want to see a miracle, it's just as easy as the day that we started speaking in tongues. It will be energized. Because go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll just kind of summarize a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 12. In Aramaic and verse 10, it just says miracles, but in the King James and in Greek, it says the working of miracles. The working of miracles, right? So that's why you know that it's God who is going to energize the miracles. The word working it's got the Greek word energy in it, energema. And that means that he's the one who does it. So you see how it's not our responsibility to figure out how something is going to happen immediately, for example. That's not our job. We cannot, as humans, go outside the natural. But God can. See, he can energize that so that a person who was dead can all of a sudden go, and life come back in them. It's an energizing of miracles. And that's why it's the central thing. Because many, many times it's all revolving on going outside of the natural. And that's God's job. So it takes all the pressure off of us. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go back to verse 6. "And there are distributions of powers, but God is the one who works." Again, it's energizing. God is the one who energizes all and everyone. Every part of the gift of Holy Spirit is available for every person in any situation. And God is the one who will work it all of them, any of them, all of them, any of them, all of them. At any time. That's why we can't analyze it. That's why there's no method. As soon as you start trying to get a method, oh, well, we always do this. We always command. We always say, oh, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lots of times, even that thing about the name of Jesus Christ, yes, the power is in the name, but sometimes we say it so often that nothing happens. Because it lost the effect of what the name represents. There's a record in the book of Acts where Peter heals Aeneas, who's been on a sick bed for 8 years, and he says to him, "Jesus Christ is healing you." And he takes him by the hand and he gets up. He didn't command, he didn't do anything. He said, "Jesus Christ is healing you." And that's what that guy needed to hear. So let's throw away the methods, right? Let's throw away the analyzing about which manifestation is it and how is it all supposed to work together. No, the only reason we did that in this seminar, whatever you want to call it, time to be together to look at some cool stuff in the Word, is because it gives us understanding of how to allow God to do more and more and more and more and more energizing. The manifestation, the lifting up of the cover of the Spirit, is given to each one as it is a profiting situation. The first principle we talked about was seek for a profiting opportunity. The second one, I actually switched them on your paper. The second one that I had said was watch and be ready to obey. And then the third one was seek the will of the Father. Seek what His answer is. Seek the wisdom first, right? Which is how to separate the good from the bad. Where's the source? And then where's the word of knowledge that will tell me exactly step by step what to do? Right? And then what was the next one on there? Okay, yeah, the watch and be ready was what we were talking about, revelation and information. And then seek the will of the Father was about discerning the spirits. Yeah, you have authority, go for it. You have authority, go for it. Because you're sent to do the same ministry that Jesus Christ did. Right, and the last one is persist and don't analyze. It's God's job to do the miracle. It's a mighty work, is another definition. It's a mighty work. It's a sign. It's God's showing His power in our day and time because He is not limited to the natural. Go down to verse 11. Now, all these things, the one Spirit, God, works and distributes to everyone as He wills. And I know that another thing that people have taught is that the He wills is the person determining, you know, their will, like you operate the Spirit. But I think the answer to this is it's neither one. Is the ultimate. It's not only the person and it's not only God. It's both together, because as the man desires and wills, then God energizes. Without man desiring to be in a profiting situation and to open your mouth and to do prophecy and to do healing and all this stuff, nothing will happen. So it is about the man being willing. But what manifestation happens and how it works together is totally by the Spirit. It is God's prerogative, and He energizes it. So that's the simple answer. If anybody ever wants to, you know, what does that mean there? Is it He wills the person or He will God? Both. There you go. Just like I was explaining with healing, is that it's past, present, and future. So somebody says to me, why am I not healed right now? Said, you are healed, and you are being healed, and you will be healed. That's God's promise, yeah. In every category. It doesn't matter what it is. And so I think that what I would like to do right now is, you know, not have a bunch of standing up and stuff like that. I think that I would like to have us pick a partner or three, if you feel more comfortable, just pick someone that you would like to be with and just start out to pray with each other and bless each other, and then let it see where it would go. And if there is a need or something specific that you would like to have prayed for or be ministered to, you can make that known for sure. But I just think that the other point that I want to leave everybody with is that without love, talking about power and might and miracles and healing and all this other stuff, doesn't matter at all. It's the central thing is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His whole motivation for anything he has to do with power is love. And that should be our motivation too. So I just thought that in this these last, you know, few minutes that we have in the morning, and that we would just kind of pair up and love each other. And then see where it goes. Because it's God who energizes, and if we pre-think it, oh, I'm going to go over and I'm going to pray for this person and this is how it's going to be. You see what I mean? It's no. I'm going to go and if Trish is my partner, I'm going to go and I'm going to look her in the eye, and the first thing out of my heart is, God loves you. You are so precious to him. And then whatever else will unfold. You see? It's that easy. That's why anybody can do it. And we don't need a big training session to be healers. Alright? So pick a partner, or, you know, like I said, if you feel more comfortable to have three, that's fine. Kind of gather around so that, you know, it's quiet enough that you can share, so, you know, it's not really big bold thing or something like that. And we'll put on some soft music here. God bless you.